Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. A few weeks ago, Politico reported that the National Republican Senatorial Committee sent campaigns a detailed 57-page memo authored by a top Republican strategist advising Republican candidates to address the coronavirus crisis by aggressively attacking China. It stresses three main lines of assault: that China caused the virus by covering it up, that Democrats are soft on China, and that Republicans will push for sanctions on China for its role in spreading this pandemic. Back in March, Donald Trump and Republicans repeatedly referred to the coronavirus as the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus. Here is a clip of ABC's senior White House correspondent Cecilia Vega pressing Trump about this issue.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
A lot of people say it's racist. It's not racist at all, no, not at all. It comes from China. That's why. Comes from China. I want to be accurate. Yeah, please, John.
I have great love for
all of the people from our country. But as you know, China tried to say at one point, maybe they stopped now, that it was caused by American soldiers. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm president. It comes from China.
Well, words have consequences. From March 19th to April 30th, there were 1,716 reported incidents of verbal harassment and physical assault directed at Asian Americans, according to Stop AAPI. That's a website that collects incidents of hate crimes, discrimination, shunning, and child bullying throughout the country. Here is another clip. This is from yesterday's White House briefing, and this is an exchange between CBS reporter Weijia Zhang and Donald Trump.
I've said many times that the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing.
Yes.
Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if every day Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every day?
Well, they're losing their lives everywhere in the world. And maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
What, sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you, I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question
like
that.
That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead.
And that is an exchange between CBS reporter Weijia Zhang and Donald Trump that just happened yesterday. While activists are organizing around anti-Asian racism, around the coronavirus, they also expect that discrimination and violence will escalate after shelter-in-place orders are lifted. And joining us to discuss these issues are three guests. Helen Zia is a civil rights activist and author. Her latest book is Last Boat Out of Shanghai, the epic story of the Chinese who fled Mao's revolution. It's an amazing book. We had Helen on to talk about this, and you can find it at yourcallradio.org. Helen was formerly executive editor of Ms. Magazine and one of the founding members of American Citizens for Justice, a nonprofit that mobilizes Asian Americans to fight discrimination through civic engagement and community activism. Hi, Helen. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having me here.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Cynthia Choi is co-executive director of Chinese for Affirmative Action, an organization that advocates for systemic change that protects immigrant rights, promotes language diversity, and remedies racial and social injustice. Cynthia helped create Stop AAPI, the website that collects reported incidents of hate crimes. Hi, Cynthia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rose, for the invitation.
We're also joined by Linda Ju, editor-at-large for the investigative reporting website 100 Reporters. Linda is a reporting and writing coach for grantees of the Fund for Investigative Journalism, and she recently wrote a piece for San Francisco Public Press called Activists Warn Anti-Asian Racism is Likely to Worsen After Lockdown Lifts. And you can read that at yourcallradio.org. Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have all of you. Linda, you really documented what has transpired from the White House. A couple of months ago, when the United States was just learning about COVID-19, Trump and Republicans were calling this the Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus, despite many people telling them that the term was inaccurate and harmful. He continued it up until late March. So can you talk about the changes in the language that we've seen coming out of the White House?
Well, it's following the Republican playbook. And, you know, in spite of, I think I've only heard one time when Trump said that Asian Americans were not to blame for the virus. I don't think I've heard anything since. Maybe Helen and Cynthia may have. But it's, you know, it's near lip service. And as I noted in my article, a lot of this strategy is not only supported by conservatives, but heavily driven by white supremacist groups. And of course, you know that members of white supremacist groups are in the White House now. So it's a real cause for concern. And I while they might dial back the use of the terms China virus or Wuhan virus or Chinese virus, the message is still pretty clear going out into the ether, or at least it's heard in the same way going out into the ether by the white nationalists and white supremacists and the extreme right.
Right. And we should note that even back then, according to researchers at San Francisco State, nearly 500 attacks were reported just in February in the United States. Helen, you were sounding the alarms about this early on. Talk about what really stands out for you about the change in language that we're seeing from the White House.
Well, certainly this is something we've seen before. And, you know, the racism emanating from this White House has, you know, it began even before this president was in the White House. So we've seen this before, and Asian Americans certainly, for our entire history in the United States, have experienced periods of extreme anti-Asian racism that included ethnic cleansing, trying to, you know, get rid of every Asian in the United States or round up Japanese Americans and put them in concentration camps. And so these are things that were not, that we have seen before. And in more recent history, you know, after 9/11, South Asian Americans, Muslims, Middle Eastern Americans have been under continuous attack even to today with Islamophobia. But there have been many of us also concerned about the anti-China surveillance, anti-Chinese American surveillance that's been going on for a number of years, trying to, find or label people as spies or national security dangers. So this has been going on for some time. But with this virus, the changes have been stark. I mean, what had been going on a bit kind of, under the surface that the community was aware of, but maybe most other Americans were not, now is just right out there with blatant racism. You know, you played those clips. That's part of it. It's we know that the GOP and this administration doesn't hesitate to use these dog whistles to call out the, you know, killer dogs, and they don't really care who they hurt. So this is really, we're seeing an incredible ramping up of this. And Linda mentioned the GOP playbook. That's not just a metaphorical allusion. They have a playbook where they mapped out the talking points for the GOP presidential campaign, which basically says point blank, blame everything on China. and they know that this is a racist ploy, that they can play the China card, which unfortunately ends up with damage and pain to Asian Americans. Chinese Americans, yes, but since many Americans lump us all together, anybody who is Asian in America is subject to attack, and that's what we see going on now. And I guess I should say that because the United States is such a global leader and in the past has tried to use that in positive ways, unfortunately, this kind of, you know, calling out all of the white supremacists and neo-Nazis out there is a global phenomenon, too. And we're seeing these kind of attacks, this permission to attack people of Asian background. And so, you know, we're seeing that affect everybody. So this is a significant change. And unfortunately, we also know from the past that this is only the beginning. Economic suffering, recessions, depressions. Now we're almost 40 million people unemployed officially, and we know that that number is actually far greater, that this is going to take a long time to recover from. People, everybody, including Asian Americans, are going to suffer from this, as well as the health impact and the illness and deaths from this virus. And since Asian people are being blamed for this, we know that this is going to be a terrible, long, difficult process, especially for Asian people in America.
And just to reiterate, Helen, according to Politico, in this memo, Republicans say that they're going to make China a centerpiece of the 2020 campaign.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, they're putting it right out there. And the unfortunate thing is that the Democratic Party, with this so much at stake in this presidential campaign, is also going to sink to the lowest common denominator. We're already seeing that with a campaign video that the Biden campaign has put out that is basically going to try to out-bash China, outplay the China card to basically say that, you know, China is the most evil empire in all history and humanity. And when they do that, it really targets everybody. So I know that there's efforts. I've posted some social media to say, hey, Biden campaign, wake up. You've got to do better than this, because you're just playing to the lowest racism of this GOP playbook. So, you know, this season, this summer, building up to November, I mean, I think Asian Americans are really bracing themselves for a triple whammy. You know, there's the virus, there's the racism from the White House, and then there's the whole presidential campaign that really is just going to be pretty bad.
And for people who have not seen the Biden ad, The Intercept wrote about it, and they say a Biden campaign spot released in mid-April juxtaposes Chinese medical workers in Tyvek suits with lines of Americans waiting to get tested for the virus. And the narrator says, quote, Trump rolled over for the Chinese. And you can find information about this at yourcallradio.org. Cynthia, these words, these ads, this playbook has real consequences. The New York Times had a piece called Spit On, Yelled At, Attacked, Chinese Americans Fear for Their Safety. And in it, they included so many stories of horrible hate crimes and harassment. For example, in March, a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old were stabbed at a Sam's Club in Texas. The alleged perpetrator told police he thought the family was Chinese and spreading the virus. A 47-year-old Asian man in Queens was pushed while walking his son to a bus stop. I mean, the stories are horrific. And it's important to lay these out, Cynthia, because it's one thing to say that anti-Asian racism is on the rise, but we need to be specific about what's happening. What are you hearing from people who have reported at the Stop AAPI Hate website?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why we established this reporting center is because we wanted to understand the extent and magnitude that anti-Asian hate was being manifested. And of course, words matter, the rhetoric matters, and I think the open hostility towards Asians and immigrants existed before the pandemic, and I think it has certainly exacerbated the situation. And what we're finding through our reporting center, again, firsthand accounts of what people are experiencing on a daily basis, is horrific. You know, it's coming from throughout the country, and we have the highest number of incidents coming from places where we have significant HIV populations. And it's hundreds and hundreds of accounts of people being harassed at all levels, attacked, denied goods and services, and experiencing discrimination. This is why we're all sheltering in place. And the rhetoric and the framing of this pandemic and this public health crisis, economic crisis that we're all enduring globally, it matters a great deal. And how it shows up in our reporting center is that we have people describing that Trump is revoked, messages around go back to China, you know, cursing, again, blaming Asian Americans for bringing the coronavirus here and being responsible for the conditions that we're all enduring today. And so there is a direct correlation with how the president and other elected officials talk about this issue. And there's a reason for it, right? Because it's working. The general public is not immune to conspiracy theories or efforts to deflect and blame. And again, it's really hard to reel back this misinformation and efforts to try to pinpoint China or the Chinese government and its people. And we know that there is a conflation with that, and that Asians and immigrants will bear the brunt of that type of propaganda and misinformation.
That is Cynthia Choi, co-executive director of Chinese for Affirmative Action. Cynthia helped create the Stop AAPI Resource Center, which collects self-reported incidents of hate crimes. Helen Zia is a civil rights activist and author, formerly executive editor of Ms. Magazine, founding member of American Citizens for Justice. Linda Ju is editor-at-large for the investigative reporting website 100 Reporters, and I hope you take the time to read her San Francisco Public Press piece called Activists Warn Anti-Asian Racism is Likely to Worsen After the Lockdown Lifts. If you have any questions or comments for our guests, if you are an Asian American and you have experienced any discrimination, racism, any stories that you have to share, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about how we all should respond to this? Community groups, individuals, government, politicians, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Linda, there have been a lot of reports about anti-Asian racism and just reports looking at the White House and the rhetoric that's coming out. What are your thoughts about the media coverage on this so far?
It's an interesting question. I've thought about that a lot.
Yeah,
I think that actually, generally speaking, the media have been very good at covering incidents as they occur. And but I think the next stage of the coverage is actually answering the question that I've been getting a lot from people who've read my stories or who I've talked to, and that is, what can we do? These are not people that are Asians. These are, you know, white people mostly and non-Asians. And the real question here is that we need to answer is, what can people do in response to this rise in hate? And I don't know, you know, with all the headlines and the distractions coming from the White House, I don't know when the media coverage will get to that level, but we need to get to that pretty soon.
So why don't we take that on? I mean, what can individuals do? What can community groups do? What are you hearing from people who write in to stop AAPI hate, Cynthia?
Yeah, this is actually the work before us. What can we do regarding the interpersonal attacks and violence? What can we do as civil society, as our government, and as a community? So I can just throw out some things that we're working on. One is that we are working with different community organizations to put out language accessible materials for people who are encountering hate, what to do, how to respond safely and in ways that de-escalate the situation, and what to do if you witness this type of thing. And this is really important to ensure that everyone who is limited English speaking, who may not be able to speak out, but needs to handle the situation in a safe manner. These are things that are just practical things that people can do. We need to forcefully counter the propaganda and misinformation campaigns that's really driving the anti-Asian racism and xenophobia. And that includes calling out any elected official who is exploiting this situation. And we need to be forceful about that. There's also a role for government who needs to be accountable in enforcing civil rights protections and challenging any policies that harm our communities in the name of national security or public interest. And finally, and I think really important for our community, is that we need to build solidarity within our community and across our communities to address really the root causes of this. I think the pandemic has more than anything exposed structural inequality. That, you know, why is it that African Americans are dying at a higher rate than any other population? Asians also make up essential workers. Many communities who were suffering before the pandemic are much worse off now. So this is a movement moment for our community to come together to address these larger issues that we're seeing, you know, being laid to bear during this pandemic.
And I guess the challenges here are you have everyday street racism where, you know, people are, you know, I've seen videos of people actually going into others' faces, spitting on them. So you have that. And then you have the Republican Party coming out with this memo saying that they're going to make China a centerpiece of the 2020 campaign. So, Cynthia, I mean, there are many layers to this that you have to address.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we have to connect the dots. We
right.
have to expose the fact that this propaganda, this information is intentional, it's coordinated, it's well-funded. And again, I would agree with Helen in the sense that this is a bipartisan effort. We need to hold all elected officials who are, again, using this terrible moment that we're all enduring to gain political points. We're not pawns. We are human beings. We are being directly impacted by this type of rhetoric, and we need to again hold everyone accountable. We also need to organize as a community and to recognize that our ability to come together to do community safety planning, to push back on any efforts that tries to point blame on any members of our community, that we work in a concerted effort to call that out and to challenge that.
Helen, what would you add about, you know, what's the best way to address this?
Well, I would like to emphasize what Cynthia was just talking about, connecting the dots. It's easy to just look and say, oh, this is Asian Americans, you know, it doesn't affect me. Or some have said, online postings, oh, well, now you've discovered what racism is like, you Asian Americans. And so so part of the educational and connecting the dots is just to raise awareness, even among Asian Americans, that this is not anything new. Actually, Asian Americans have experienced racism, hate crimes, these kind of things forever. But this is now elevating it to a level that we haven't seen before, and so that's one thing. But also, when we unleash racism, we unleash violence and hatred, it's not just against Asian Americans. You know, we're still uncovering the details of what happened to Ahmaud Arbery, the African American who was killed by police who clearly stalked him, and his mother is rightfully calling it a lynching. An African man who was just out jogging, and we're seeing an incredible rise in domestic violence, violence against women around the world. And so when we are having our highest elected officials and, just basically saying, yes, go attack these people. You know, right now it's China, but really what happens is, you mentioned everyday street racism, it turns into targeting different people, but that spills over. I mean, it may be pointing the finger at China and Asian Americans today, but that violence and that energy and that encouragement really extends to everybody. And also, as Cynthia said, Asian Americans, are essential workers. They're out there going to work, to go as health workers, to maybe save, some attacker's mother or a family member. And we're finding that healthcare workers are being attacked. How does that help anything? Or, essential workers delivering the mail, who many of whom are Asian American, or delivering or driving or all of these things. And so when any segment of our community is attacked, it really does affect everybody and damages us all. And what we know with this virus is that it's going to take everybody. It's going to take a global effort of unified people to try to overcome all of the challenges that really people across the world, as well as in America, are facing. So, this wave of racism and violence is something that really hurts us all. Asian Americans, yes, but it hurts all of us. And that's what we have to stand up for. Because if we race to the bottom and sink to the bottom, we are all hurt. And we won't be able to get out of this.
I should mention that... go ahead.
Rose, if I can just jump in here. Just going back to your original question about media coverage, the thing that I have noticed is that certainly on Fox News and other right-wing media, there may be occasional token references to, Asian Americans not being the cause of this problem, but China is still a problem. And there's a refusal to recognize the effect of the China rhetoric on Asian Americans, and a blithe comment saying that they're not to blame for the virus just doesn't do it. So there's a level of accountability here that has to be held, certainly for Fox News and right-wing media, but also in the way that mainstream media echoes that, the way they cover the GOP strategy. Some have been better than others in recognizing that this is a GOP strategy and it does affect, it does increase, it feeds into the white nationalist strategy of attacking minorities, including Jewish people and Asian Americans. As I noted in the intelligence bulletin that I reported on in my story. So language is very, very important in this, with this whole problem. And I think that one of the things that we have to do is stress how people talk about this on a day-to-day basis. It's not a matter of political correctness. It's really a matter of people's lives being endangered. And I don't think that we can stress that enough.
If I could also jump in on what Linda was just saying, I think, unfortunately, in the media also is under this sort of uber trope, of China being the evil empire, which I just want to say, I am not a defender or an apologist for China. The book you mentioned, Rose, that you and I talked about on your program previously, The Last Boat Out of Shanghai, it's banned. My book is banned in China. So I am very aware of the totalitarian state of China, but it is not possible for most reporters or media to even challenge the idea that China is the source of all global problems at this point. I really am very curious about what measures China has taken about the virus and what we can learn from that. You know, this testing stuff, why are we, as you know, as the you know, when the leading country of the world, not able to have this kind of testing, whereas all these other countries, including China, have been able to. And since they had the virus and were fighting it first, what can we learn? Well, you know, unfortunately, because this theme about evil China is so strong that people don't challenge the idea that, for example, maybe China was slow because they are as competent, as incompetent as every other government in the world has been to sort of deny what's going on and to hide the extent that they're having problems. I don't know, but I don't actually see any kind of challenge to that and or investigation. And I think, you know, that's part of the problem, you know, that as long as we label anything as all bad, you know, we're basically feeding into the fundamentalism. You know, this idea it's either all bad or all good, and we're good, so the others are all bad. You know, life is more complex than that, and if we're going to address complex problems, we have to be willing to look at all the different sides of them.
Yeah, and it's such a good point.
Unfortunately, the media has not, you know, mainstream media has not been doing that.
Yeah, it was such a great point. Helen, what changes would you like to see in the media around this issue?
Well, I think that our journalists and the media are so under attack now, being labeled as the enemy of the people, that I actually do think that, you know, the reporters are doing the best that they can, especially you watch them at these White House briefings where they're just, you know, dismissed and told that they're nasty people. And if you happen to be a person of color or a woman, a reporter of color or a female journalist, you are especially the target of these vile attacks. And as you pointed out in your opener, the people who have challenged the president on his racism, actually, they've all been women of color, you know, in those White House briefings, which is something I admire and applaud. But so I think that kind of bravery has to continue. But I think the gatekeepers in our newsrooms, in all of our newsrooms, really do need to challenge this idea that you know, China is a monolithic state and everything is coming from there is bad. Because here's or directed at destroying the United States. Because actually there are political movements in China that are taking on the totalitarian state that exists in China. And if we don't understand that and find a way to help, you know, reach out to people around the world, then we are really, you know, they say it's a global village. It is. And this pandemic has made it very clear. And if we can't see beyond our own borders, which, you know, we need to just do more of that, I guess I'd say.
I also want to mention that the group Holla Back is offering bystander intervention trainings to stop anti-Asian American and xenophobic harassment. It says, in response to the rise in anti-Asian and xenophobic harassment, we partnered with Asian Americans in Advancing Justice to adapt our free bystander intervention training. And there are free trainings Wednesday, May 13th, Thursday, May 21st, and Saturday, May 30th. We can put the information on our website. Linda, you sent this information to us, and thank you for that. They actually had to add trainings because their first three trainings completely sold out.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So
that's good to hear, actually.
Good to hear, right. Yeah, and they're capping it at 1,000 people, so thousands of people are signing up for this. So we will put a link. Linda and Cynthia, final thoughts? I mean, we'll definitely, you know, cover this in the coming weeks, but Linda, this is going to be a long fight, given that, again, you know, I just wish this memo got a little more attention, but the Republicans are planning to make China a centerpiece of the campaign, and we're heading right into the heart of it. The election's just less than 6 months away.
Yeah. Yeah, and how we cover this this particular part of a strategy where Asians are being attacked is going to be difficult, because after a while you get fatigue, you know, when you cover a subject, the same subject, for too long. So finding different angles to cover this without wearing people out on the subject, I think is going to be a challenge. But I think that really the next step in the coverage should be about what people should be doing about this on the ground level.
Cynthia, final thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely think that we are certainly preparing for the rhetoric to ratchet up. We're also preparing for this to be a long fight. And I think it will be really important, just like in past times, to cover how Asian Americans, as well as our allies, are working together to address this. And I think that's the next phase, I think, of this coverage, because we are working on a daily basis to respond to impacted community members and how we really prepare to address community safety issues and potential, you know, state violence as well. So that, to me, would be very, very important next phase of coverage.
Well, we will definitely do a follow-up show and continue asking that question, what needs to be the response? Cynthia Choi is co-executive director of Chinese for Affirmative Action. She helped create the Stop AAPI Hate online resource. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Helen Zia is a civil rights activist and author. Her latest book is Last Boat Out of Shanghai, The Epic Story of the Chinese Who Fled Mao's Revolution. It's a beautiful book. Helen was on our show months ago talking about it, and you can find that show at yourcallradio.org. Thank you so much, Helen.
Oh, thank you, Rose, and thank you for all the great work you do.
Thank you, you too. Linda Ju is editor-at-large for the investigative reporting website 100 Reporters. She recently wrote a piece for San Francisco Public Press called Activists Warn Anti-Asian Racism is Likely to Worsen After the Lockdown Lifts. You can find it at yourcallradio.org. Thank you so much, Linda. We will definitely have you back.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you. And you can find more information about these issues, this really important issue, at yourcallradio.org. Coming up after a quick break, we will talk about the state of testing in the United States. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.